Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I am joined today by one of my amazing sisters in Christ, Joy Capps. Joy is a veteran strategic communications catalyst, and she empowers purpose-driven leaders to build genuine connections with their customers. Her joyful communications framework focuses on things like integrity and marketing strategies, content creation, and copywriting. As a coach, podcaster, and author, she's passionate about equipping others for success. Joy, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to reconnect with you, Simona. And I love, love, love the topic of the summit. It is so needed today.
I'm so happy you feel that way. I couldn't agree more. I'm really excited to talk to you about your topic for today's session.
Yeah, the topic that I have laid out, and of course, we'll just go where the Holy Spirit leads, but he placed it on my heart that you're not alone. I think so many of us walk this journey that we are on in partnership with the Lord. And sometimes we feel like our microphone is turned off and we're going, hello, is this thing on? And we need to realize that he has fully given us everything we need to conquer fear and embrace what he's called us to do. So my working title that I gave you was, you're not alone, conquer fear and embrace your divine calling. And that's what I hope we can unpack today.
Yes, I'm so excited. Tell us, how did you come up with this title?
I have to say that I'm the poster child of leaning into that fear and that doubt. I'm guilty of my humanness showing. I come across to people that get to interact with me as this very A-type driven woman that is confident, but behind that way that I'm showing up, there is a little girl that is constantly battling the things that the enemy places in my mind. And those things would be the power twins of fear and doubt. And if you're not careful, you can get so wrapped up on focusing on those things that it can sidetrack you and help you not step into what the Father has called you to do. And I have so many stories of that dance that I've done back and forth where it's, okay, God, I'm partnering with you. And oh, no, wait, I'll take it back. I've got it from here. And when I do that, when I'm like, oh, no, wait, I've got it, I'll take it back, that's when those things like fear and doubt have crept in. And so I just want to share my experiences so that I can encourage and inspire others who are walking out this journey.
I love that. And Joy, it's no secret. I read your newsletter. I'm addicted to your stories. Can you share one of those instances with us where you felt like fear and doubt were at an all-time high?
Wow. How much time do we have? I could share a lot of different stories, but the one that I think the Holy Spirit wants me to elevate is one that happened not that long ago, back in 20, I believe it was in 2022. So 2 years ago, I finally released a book that I've been working on for 2 years, which is Joyful Copy, How to Take a Stand in the Marketplace Ethically and Authentically. And I have to interject for this story to make sense that when I wrote that book, I was actually functioning as a Christian in the marketplace covertly, meaning that I was using biblical principles and I was leaning into what the Holy Spirit had called me to do, which that was progress. I wasn't always there, but I wasn't being bold in what I was saying. I was clandestine. I was in stealth mode. And at this particular point in time, when I released the book, I was like, yay, I'm done. All right. And Holy Spirit's not so fast. I have given you a message that I need you to take a bold stand in the marketplace with. I need you to challenge and teach purpose-driven leaders and Christian business owners about marketing best practices that align with kingdom principles. And I got to tell you, that totally freaked me out because I was like, nobody wants to hear this. And my business is going to go sideways because people get turned off to hearing about Jesus things, right? And the more that I tried to go the opposite direction, like, it's okay, God, I probably misheard you. I heard what you said, but I'm still going to be over here in stealth mode. The more that I tried to do that, the louder that nudge became. And it was like, no, I've called you for such a time as this to take this stand in the marketplace. And finally, I let my humanness take the back seat. And I said, okay, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And that in and of itself is a journey that I'm still walking out as we're talking right now.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. I think many of us, myself included, can relate to this sort of push and pull, if you will. Like, I'm going to give it to you. It's all yours. Take it all.
Right?
And then within the same breath, oh, what I meant to say is that you can have this piece of it. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I think some of the other things that come to mind, especially when the Lord has given you a specific message that he wants you to deliver, is you start to think about the financial risk, right? Is my client base going to go down? Is my income going to decrease? Or maybe there's people I'm going to have be rejected by, right? And those are real fears. And when that happens, I think that it's easy for previous failures or self-doubt, or even, I guess we could label those societal pressures, to contribute to fear. But here's the thing that I've been reminded of over and over again. And before I share it with you, I have to interject. It's really interesting because I'm talking about my own story and I easily share this with other people. Hey, you need to do this, but it's easy to tell other people what to do. It's much more challenging to try and apply it yourself.
So
and,
true.
And the thing that kept coming to mind that I've coached people in for years was the acronym of FEAR. And it actually can be looked at from two different perspectives. FEAR could stand for false evidence appearing real. But what if you flip the script, leaned into Abba Father, and allowed fear to be face everything and rise?
That's a
good.
Complete.
Yeah.
Yeah, that turns everything on its head. And it makes me think of some of the revelations that I've been coming to in this season, because it's no secret. One of the biggest reasons why I think he gave me this assignment is because I've struggled with this for many years. And so one of the revelations that I've had is that rather than running from fear, rather than experiencing fear and thinking I should run the opposite way, for me at least, it has been a compass. So when I feel fear, when I feel that bout of resistance, it's an indicator to me that I need to move towards that thing instead of running from it. Because when I'm running from it, it's giving way to things like doubt. It's giving way to things like shame. And it's pulling me from purpose. Have you encountered that as well?
Oh, absolutely. And just to pull on that thread, it's such a common thing that the closer we walk with the Lord, the more challenging and the more difficult it becomes. But here's the thing, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know about you or the listeners, but I thrive on challenges, right? Like I remember years ago when I was in a situation, I had a Great Dane, this is decades ago, a 220-pound dog. And I got it in my head that I wanted us to become trained as a pet therapy team. And I remember my ex-husband telling me in his typical way, "Oh no, you would never be able to do that. You couldn't train that dog to do that." And it's something about the way I'm wired that I was like, "Really? Let me show you." And guess what? We got Pet Therapy Team of the Year. And so I realized that God has wired me to be the kind of person that thrives on those challenges. So when it comes to what He's called me to do in the marketplace, when things get tough, I just need to keep, as you were saying, pressing in and leaning into Him and following His lead and saying, "Okay, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to come out on the other side, and God is going to get all the glory for whatever is accomplished."
Yeah, that holy resistance, holy rebellion, as I like to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have another story that came to mind.
Go ahead.
So if you, the listeners, have encountered me before, they will know this about me, but if not, it'll be news. I have a unique passion hobby. My passion hobby is I'm a scuba diver, and underwater photography is my thing. And it's a challenge to me to be able to do those things. And I could dive into, literally, no pun intended, into the different stories there. But just the other day, my husband and I were scuba diving off the coast of Florida, where we live in the Atlantic, and the conditions on the surface seemed ideal. They just seemed beautiful. But the minute that we dove into the ocean for about 40 feet, it was like swimming in pea soup. I couldn't even see my husband. Now, fair warning, they had a dive guy go before us and tell us that it was going to be not so hot for the first 40 feet. So we knew what to anticipate. But when we got below that, we were at about 80 feet down on the reef, and everything opened up, and you could see what was happening, and the fish were down there. And it was like diving at night during the daytime. But here's the thing, all of a sudden, I realized as the fish were moving really fast, like they were in a hurry and they had to get somewhere, which was unusual, I also noticed a calmness, a peace that was surreal. And I heard Holy Spirit say, "This is what you walk through in life and in business, where it's dark and murky and the sun doesn't penetrate and everybody around you seems to be chaotic and things aren't smooth. But this peace that you're feeling is what I can provide for you as you push through and navigate these waters." And I thought, wow, what an illustration of exactly what we walk through as God's children.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I really think that leads to what he wants us to do, right? He wants us to do what you did at the beginning of this call, but not just on Sundays and not just once a day. He wants us to invite him into whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it, that scuba dive when I was down there, right? Pushing through the green sludge, which was really gross, by the way, to get to the nirvana underneath, pushing through those client meetings, inviting him into the things that we create, the things that he's called us to do. And I really think that the way that we can do this is simple. It just takes consistency. And that's reading the word daily, reading God's Bible, and asking him to illuminate things for us that will help us in what we're doing. One of the things that I've picked up along the way, I don't know if I heard this or if it was something I created, but I actually think that the Bible is the ultimate how-to guide, that No matter what we're going through, if we lean in and say, hey, Lord, I'm about to do X, Y, Z, is there a verse that can help me with this? That he will absolutely show us verses that we can apply to anything we're going through.
Amen. I can think of several instances in my life when he's done just that.
Absolutely. I think that there's a challenge for us, though, as we are trying to eliminate the fear and the doubt in our lives, that not only should we invite him in, not only should we read his word daily and ask him to illuminate things for us, but I think we should participate in spirit-led strategic planning, asking him his perspective on the business decisions that we're making, on the content that we're creating, on the partnerships that we might have, on the stand that he's asked us to take in the marketplace. But then when we ask him his perspective, I think this is where the breakdown happens sometimes. Okay, check, check, got all these things. But then we have to actually be intentional to take steps forward, to be proactive. And I think it's really easy for us to go, oh yeah, the Lord told me this. And then we just become passive all of a sudden. I know I've been guilty of it, and wait for something to happen. And that's not what he's called us to do. He's called us to do our part in concert with him. Yeah.
I noticed that we've talked about the marketplace a little bit. Can you talk a bit about how our calling and our purpose, how they can be integrated and used within the marketplace? The reason I ask is because I think there's a great misconception that calling, divine callings at least, need to exist within the church.
Ah, I'm so glad you asked that question, because here's something that I think that we forget. We are the church. The church isn't a building. The church is in us. What we may be the only Bible that anybody sees. And we don't have to use Christianese to be able to demonstrate the love of Jesus, to be able to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. We don't have to use biblical terminology to do that. We can just live it out by the things that we say, by the things that we do, by how we show up in the world, by how we interact with other people.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you described at the top of the call when you said that's what he was calling you to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's a nuance here, because I think we all have different charges that he gives us, and we walk through different seasons.
Right.
And like I mentioned early on, I used to be very covert with my faith. And there is a place and a time where I've been working with atheists, for example, literally working with atheists on marketing materials. And they know the stand that I take, but I don't go into it and say, can we open with a word of prayer? Because that's going to turn them off. That's going to alienate them, right? Some of my dearest friends are Buddhists, and that means they don't believe in God, right? Not the same God that I do. And so those are opportunities to take the calling that God has given us and use the wisdom and discernment that only he can give to filter what we say so that it shows up in the right way. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there may be people that are listening to this, like I'm walking through right now, this season, where he's, no, I want you to rip the Band-Aid off. I want you just to be plain and speak the truth and point people back to me. So it really, Simona, it, to me, is key that we have that ongoing relationship with the Lord so that he can guide and direct our steps and let us know when we're supposed to show up boldly and overtly and when we're supposed to be covert and more stealth.
That's so good. It makes me think about a sermon that I heard maybe about a week ago. And in it, the pastor was talking about the importance of using discernment to avoid being unnecessarily offensive. That's how he described it. And I think that's what you just described here. You could go into those meetings and say, hey, I'm going to start things off with prayer. But whether you do or not, it doesn't negate the fact that you are God's child. And it doesn't negate the fact that His presence and his fruit radiate from you. And so I think what you just said about being intentional about going to God and asking for direction and asking for discernment and wisdom around our different interactions, I think that's so important, whether we do it in our ordinary, like daily lives, or we do it within business.
Absolutely. And the thing that comes to mind as you were sharing that is I think where we get into trouble is when we lean into our own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says to lean not unto your own understanding. But as business leaders or women of faith, wherever you are in your journey, I think that we tend to want to hold that control. And sometimes, even today, because my mind is constantly on go. I will have things that I want to say in a meeting, in a conversation with somebody, and I feel that holy duct tape whip out and put itself over my mouth and go, that's not in this conversation. That's not going to be received well. Don't say that. Right. And so it's a matter of, as I heard Dr. Sandra Dalton, a friend of mine, say years ago, we need to ask the Lord to put his super into our natural, right?
That's such a good reminder. We don't do it enough.
Absolutely. But I think, too, one of the other things that we need to do when we're walking out these steps that you and I are discussing is to be realistic, right? We need to avoid perfectionism. And I have to make a confession, I suffer from perfectionism, not only fear and doubt, but I want everything to be perfect.
Same.
And it's not going to be perfect, right? There's only
Right.
one being that is perfect, and that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we need to just get it done and let go. And then when we do put things out in the world, we need to celebrate the wins. And I'm talking about the big wins, but also the little small ones. He may have helped you put your hand on a particular document that you couldn't find, or he may
Right.
have opened up a conversation that you needed to have with someone and you didn't even realize till afterwards that it was divinely appointed. Those are things to celebrate. But I think the other thing, too, that we need to make sure that we do is two more points that come to mind readily is we need to build in accountability with other like-minded people. And so if you're in corporate America where talking about things of the Lord is poo-pooed, or if you're in your own business and you're able to boldly take a stand, whatever the situation may be, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom that's homeschooling. I don't know what your particular situation is, but finding others that are like-minded that don't just want to show up to church on Sunday or just call out to the Lord whenever there's a crisis, but those that want to know everything that they can about Jesus and how to emulate that in their lives, in their businesses, in their calling. That's who we need to be aligned with. We need to form community with. And there's a variety of different ways to do that, but it is so important.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because community has come up a few times throughout this audio summit as I've spoken with other speakers. And just it's established itself as like a key piece of our foundation with regard to our faith, our foundation with regard to our growth and development. It's essential to helping put practices in place, like remembering to take every thought captive. I'll share a really quick story. So, I had an experience where it would have been very easy for me to have an anxiety spiral or a fear-based spiral. And the first person I called to talk about it, like that whole conversation did its job because it was like, you're talking to this person. Where should you have gone? And I was like, you're right, Holy Spirit. I should have come directly to you. That's exactly where I should have gone. And so that's why I agree with what you just said. It's so important that we have community and we have like-minded individuals because what I would have loved for that person to say is, let's pray together. Or did you take this to God first? But instead, they asked a series of questions that really fed the fear. And that's why it's so important to remember, one, to cast all our cares on the Lord, but to remember who your people are, right? Because I think you can get to the place where you can be expecting one thing and not receive it due to no fault of that person. It's just where they are in life. And it can lead to things like disappointment. It could feed the fear or the anxiety cycle. Or you could reach out to a person who is like-minded and faith-based, and they might say to you exactly what I was expecting to hear, right? They might say, "Hey, Simona, thanks for sharing this with me. Have you taken it to the Father? Hey, Simona, thanks for sharing this with me. Can we pray about this? I feel like you're going through something right now. Can we pray about it?" Yeah. Thanks for that reminder, Joy.
Absolutely. But I felt as you were talking the need to remind people that when things go sideways, and they will, that we shouldn't fear because sometimes those situations that don't turn out the way that we had it planned are actually a setup for the Lord to take us somewhere else. And when you have community, like-minded community, those people that you can lean into, they sometimes will be able to help you see what you're too close to see, right? And they will point
Right.
it out to you and say, "Yeah, that happened, but let's see what God's going to do, where He's going to take you. That this is actually probably to your benefit that this happened."
Yeah.
I've seen it happen time and time again in my life.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was, Joy. It was a setup. I was panicking because I was driving back from Atlanta and I couldn't find a gas station. The entire state had a blackout, right? So there's no gas. Many of the exits didn't have stoplights and everything working. And so I'm like, I just need gas. And so I called this person, like, "Hey, you've driven this several times. Like, any suggestions?" And so as I was talking to them, Holy Spirit was like, "What should you have done? What could you have done differently?" So I got off the phone with that person. I think it's like Philippians 4 and 16 that tells us not to be anxious and to cast our cares on the Lord. And so that's what I did. And I got a sense of peace about it. And yet, at the very same time, the gas notches were like dwindling. And so I'm like, okay, clearly this is in your hands. You let me drive through a hurricane. You protected me. I know you've got it. Just help me with this anxiety that I'm experiencing in this moment. And long story shorter, I get to the gas station, I fill up, but I am able to bless two people at the gas station. And I was just overwhelmed with emotion because I needed gas, but you needed me to be a blessing to your children. There was a woman there who didn't have gas and she was traveling with her children. There was another woman who was about to light out a sign and tell people that she was homeless. And I was just like, I needed this thing. You knew I needed it, which is why you didn't let me get to eat somewhere on the side of the road. And you used it for your glory. And I just felt so good in that moment. But it was the 2.5 hours getting to that moment that were a little nerve-wracking.
Wow, that is so incredible. Isn't it amazing when we walk through certain things? It's so easy for our humanness to get in the way, but when we reflect on what he actually is able to do through us, how things turn out for his glory, it's incredible. And I think that leads to another point that I want to make if I could. And that is that we need to be careful when we're trying to get through this fear and this doubt that's in our mind to focus on God's agenda, not the world's success, right? Because worldly success will find us going down this rabbit trail that does lead to fear, that does lead to doubt. But when we keep our eyes focused on the Lord's agenda, like you discovered in your need for gas, right? It turns out completely differently.
Exactly. Yeah. I had no idea that he was setting me up that way. Using me to be a blessing. That's awesome.
Another thing that, with knowledge of what I do for a living, what the Lord has called me to do, that I really would be remiss if I didn't bring up, is I think that there's an opportunity for us as we are siblings in Christ trying to take a stand in life, in the marketplace, to do what the Lord has called us to do. that we need to be uber, uber sensitive and careful that however we communicate verbally, non-verbally, in writing, through marketing, through talks, we need to use what I'm calling joyful integrity. We need to avoid the world's communication tactics that have that fear woven in. Everywhere you look, there's things being advertised and even political campaigns right now that are pinging on what? Fear. Right. And doubt. They're putting disparaging remarks. And what's hard and a slippery slope for us is that we tend to emulate what we see. We tend to copy, sometimes without even meaning to, the things that are modeled to us. And so I really feel the need to stress the importance of whatever it is that we're saying, thinking, doing, marketing, writing, communicating, that we need to make sure it's aligned with the Lord's principles. And the really simple way to find what those principles are, since there's over 31,000 verses in the Bible, is to hone in on three key verses. And that's in Galatians 5:22 and 23. That's the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
And Philippians 4:8, which is, I call it the believer's thought process, right? What we're supposed to focus on. And if we do that, it gives us an opportunity to lean into the calling and be able to focus on building relationships and trust with other people that are authentic and not wrapped around the axle of fear and doubt that is so prevalent in today's society.
Yeah, that and manipulation.
Absolutely. We're really called to do that. And unfortunately, I used to do it really well. Used to be able to write things with manipulation, with hype, and get paid really well for that. And now I won't do that. I've actually walked away from paying client gigs because they were doing things that weren't, or wanting me to do things that weren't ethical, that weren't aligned with God's word, that had that hyperbole and that manipulation in there. So I really think that the challenge for us as siblings in Christ, and I want to challenge the listeners to this, is to take action on what you're doing, to remember that you're not alone, as we've been sharing in the stories that we've been telling, and that God is with you every step of the way. And so don't let fear and doubt hold you back. Take a moment to reflect on your journey and ask Abba Father to remind you about what he's called you to do and to give you his perspective on areas that you might need to change. I really think if you do that, you're going to notice that fear and doubt that tries to jump up and rear its ugly head is going to start to fall into the background, and you're going to start to see things more clearly as it's aligned with him, his glory, and what he wants you to do.
I agree completely. I've definitely seen that when I'm able to do that, fear dissipates quickly. I haven't come to the point in my walk yet where I experience no fear. And I feel like that's by design, right? I feel like if we weren't supposed to experience fear, he wouldn't have told us, do not fear or do not be afraid so many times in the Bible.
Absolutely. Here's something to remember, and I think we forget about it.
Yeah.
But the reason we have all these emotions, all of these, we're created in his image. So think about that for a second. Every single emotion that we possess, the positive ones and the negative ones, that means that Father God has those emotions too. If you look at the Old Testament, you can see a very angry Father God, right? Throughout, you can see him being very demonstrative and showing his displeasure with things. And then, of course, you go into the New Testament and you see it more leaning into some of the more positive attributes. But those emotions, negative and positive, all came from him. But the nuance is that he also models to us how to hold it in check. And that's by living life and doing things in partnership with him.
I love that. Joy, it's no secret. And I'm sure like the listeners have gotten sick of me saying this, because I love the speakers that are taking part in this audio summit. And I could talk to you all day long.
Likewise.
I would love for you to maybe just take a moment and leave us with your final thoughts on conquering fear and how we can do that to live out our purpose.
Absolutely. I would be happy to do that. Here's what I want to encourage you to do, to embrace your calling. And you do that by getting courage and faith. And you're like, is that an, can I order that on Amazon? No. The courage and the faith is actually going to get stronger when you have a consistent, intentional relationship with Abba Father, with our living, loving God. And here's the cool part. No matter what happens, like the hurricane that just came through, or you needing gas, or me diving into the depths of the ocean, or the client situation that turned sideways, no matter what happens, our God doesn't change. But the key to that relationship, that key to moving forward and overcoming the fear and the doubt, is to take the initiative to actively do your part while you wait for Abba Father to act. And that's something I would be remiss if I did not touch on. There is a difference between Chronos time, the time you and I see on a clock, and Kairos time, which is when God moves and makes things happen that you never dream possible in his timing. So if you're intentional to follow the steps of inviting him into the process, reading his word, memorizing scripture, leaning into him, when you do that, he's going to help you overcome those fears and doubts. He's going to help you align your calling with your purpose, and he will help you fulfill whatever it is that he's called you to do.
So good. I love that. Joy, I appreciate you. I really do. Like, even in this conversation, you just being, I would say, a responsible sister in Christ and being the iron that sharpens iron. Earlier in our conversation, I couldn't remember the scripture, Philippians 4 and 6, but you did. And just doing that in such a loving way to support me, to help the listeners so that they know where to go and where to study. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. I will tell you, I'm guilty of being my father's daughter, because when I was a little girl, my dad, he's passed away now, but he was a Baptist minister evangelist. And I wasn't the normal kid that got an allowance like everybody else did. What he did was he said, okay, Joy Lynn, that's my given name, Joy Lynn. He said, Joy Lynn, if you memorize this scripture passage right here, so, say Psalm 46, I'll give you $5.
I
And I'm
love
like,
it.
wow. And back then, because I'm a little bit older these days, $5 back then was a lot of money. And scripture memorization has actually paid dividends. And that's where that comes from, Simona.
Love that. Do I tell the listeners how they can stay in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can reach out to me on social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and it's Joy Caps, CAPS. And you can also, if you're interested in a free two-page checklist that I put together with some of the very things we discussed, I've got it available for you if you go to my website, joycaps.com/conquer-fear. You'll be able to download a free two-page checklist that I'm calling Faithless Fear, How to Embrace Your Calling. And I've also got another little special goodie there for those of you that want to do some spirit-led marketing strategy session.
I love that. Joy, again, thank you for your time today. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom and sharing all of your tips with us. I know the listeners were much like myself taking notes, and I hope that they will take the next step to connect with you and learn more and work with you.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things to do is connect with other siblings in Christ. So I welcome that.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to listen to the other sessions that are a part of the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit.